And it is really a nice morning out. It's been a while since we've had one like this. The sun is shining and it's warm outside. And enjoy it quickly because winter's coming. Wednesday, yes. Okay, kids, you're dismissed for children's church with Donna. Okay. We're going to be continuing on in our 8-part series on God's plan for His church. Today, it's love and obey. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31 is where I'm going to focus on. But we'll be going a few other places too. Don't have a slideshow for you today, but we do have the scripture verses all that we'll be putting up for you. So, John 14, starting with verse 15. It says, "If you love me, you obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going away to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to guess what your will is. We don't have to try to discern what your commands are, but Lord, you have laid them out for us. You haven't said with some sort of way that we can't understand, but you've said it in a way that we can understand. So, Lord, might we understand through that indwelling Holy Spirit your will and your truth this day. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon me that as I preach, it wouldn't be me saying what I think, but instead, Lord, you would use me as your instrument to preach your truth, your will, your love to your people. Father, we come now to to know you more, to meet with you, to love you, that we might obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love and obey. Okay, very simple, right? I should pretty much be done. But somehow we need to keep going back and back over this. Because anybody here ever disobey? Yeah. Thought, word, or deed? Just in case you want to get technical on it. Don't try to split hairs with God. You're not going to win. Pharisees tried to figure that out. They tried to set up all these rules to... And God finally said, you know, enough, enough. But this is what I want. This is my will. He laid it out for us. Love me and obey me. This isn't a new concept. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's read what God was telling his people back in the Exodus. It says, these are my commands, decrees and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are coming, that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. So I'm going to jump down here to verse 34 or 24. It says, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are to carefully obey all the laws before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Well, we found that we can't keep all the laws. So we needed that sinless sacrifice. Jesus came to fulfill the law, because we can't keep it. But yet we still have these commands that we're given to obey. But notice that the obeying part flows out of love. Now last week, I spoke on how God's plan is that the church is to abide in Him, draw its sustenance, its strength, its power, its being from Him. And then we bear fruit. We're the branches. He's the vine. It's through Him that we get what we need so that we can be productive. On both sides of that illustration is this command to love and obey. In John 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Okay, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. You see, Jesus gave us the example. He told us how to do it. Follow me. Do what I've done. I've remained in the Father's love. How? By obeying His commands. I do I don't do anything on my own. He said, I just do what the Father has commanded me. This is also bracketed by a command. We're saying obey, obey, obey. And on both sides of this, saying to obey is this command that we find in John 13 and in John 15. And it says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The end of John 15, verse 17, it says, this is my command, love each other. This is my command, love each other. Okay, we're told to love each other. We're told to love and obey. So what is it? Now, if you've done counseling with me, if you've heard me preach more than twice, you've probably heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Selfless. So I'm not putting myself first, I'm putting God first. I'm putting somebody else first. In this instance, if I'm going to love God, I'm putting God first. Loyal. I'm going to stick with God no matter what. He may not be giving me what I want right this minute, right now, but I'm still going to do what it is He wants. I'm going to be loyal. Even if I'm going through the tough times. Benevolent concern for the well-being of another. Hold it. Now, how can I act benevolently towards God? That kind of takes kind of a presumptive attitude, doesn't it, Bruce? Doesn't it? You know, how can I behave benevolently towards God? Because the idea of benevolence is that you do what is best for somebody. So I need to do what's best for God. Okay, let's sit and think about that one for just a second. Unpack it just a little bit. Now, as a parent, when I behave in a benevolent fashion towards my child who has misbehaved, what do? I correct their misbehavior. Depending upon their age and the misbehavior will depend upon what type of correction they receive. A small child reaching for something hot on the stove gets a on the hand, right? A child who lies might have to eat a little soap. You know, whatever. That dependent upon your age of the child. You know, here we are. Most of us consider ourselves here mostly grown up. Some of us are more grown up than others. Some of us have more growth than we need, maybe. But how do we translate that to our behavior with God and our interaction with Him? You see, now even as a parent, as I'm loving my child, I had my children, there were times when they corrected me. They showed where I had gone wrong. Well, Dad, didn't you say, yeah, you're right, I did. You shouldn't do that. No, you're right, I shouldn't. Okay. But I'm not going to have those times with God. There's not going to be a time where I show up and say, aha, God, you messed up here. See, I'm the one that's right. That's not going to happen. So how do I behave benevolently to God is I recognize first that God and His character and who and what He is that God is omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. God knows. Sometimes we say when we don't know, you say God knows. Because we don't know, but we know He does. That's true. God knows. God knows what's best. So if I'm going to behave in a benevolent fashion to God, I need to always behave in accordance with His commands. Because His commands are always right. My commands are not always right. I know my children would be absolutely just dumbfounded to hear me say such a thing. That I'm not always right. Yeah, it's true. Church, believe it. Not always right. Sometimes I'm wrong. But God is always right. And His commands are always right. So we need to obey those commands. Now, if we abide with God, we're in His presence, as we said, that's the plan last week, we're to be with Him, have that close relationship. We're told here we do that through obeying. And that, in actuality, when we disobey, we sever that relationship. Okay? We have another word for disobeying God's command. It's called sin. Another word for it, too. It's called rebellion. Well, I don't think. Well, that's true. If you're going to say, I don't think, and preface it by saying you're going to do something different than what God commanded, then you didn't think. At least you didn't think very well. Okay? You didn't think it through. Because God's command is what it is we should do. God doesn't tell us that it's okay to lie. A little white lie. Well, it's just a little white lie. You know, I've been looking in the scripture for a number of years now. I've never yet found that one. If you can point that one out to me, please do. It's okay to not do what God commands us. No, He commands us here to love one another. Matter of fact, we're told that if we don't love each other, we're really not in Him. If we go to John, the book of 1 John, letter 1 John 4, start reading with verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him, and He is in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God is in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, because in the world we are like him." The him here is Jesus. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." People, we're not given an option. We need to love one another. We need to obey God. When we, the church, love one another, when we follow obedience to God's command, we become more like Him. We better reflect His nature. And the world sees in us the love of God in action and complete. It's something that they are then drawn to, finds it attractive. If we're not loving, the gospel becomes less attractive when it comes from our lips. Because our life says that we're lying. But if we are living in that close, abiding association with God, where we are obeying His command to love one another and the other commands that He's given us, then when people look at us, they see something that attracts them, makes the gospel attractive to them, so that they might receive it too. You can't do this if you're in rebellion, if you're sinning, if you're not abiding with God, if you are disobeying. We cannot choose when we're going to obey and what parts we're going to obey of God's word. We need to obey the whole thing. But it starts with loving God with all our minds, with all our souls, with all our strength. You see, love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a commitment, a decision that we've made that this is what we are going to do and be. God committed to us in such a manner that He sent His only Son to die on the cross. That all who believed would what? Have eternal life. That wasn't, God didn't do that because He had an ushy-gushy feeling. He did it because He was committed to doing what was best for us. He decided one day that He would do that. I've been with Donna for 31 years, not because I had an ushy-gushy feeling. Guess what? Ushy-gushy feelings are great. They're wonderful. They're awesome. And I have them for Donna. But that's not why we're still together. It's because the two of us have made a commitment to stay there. That we're going to work it through. Because let me tell you this. If we hadn't been committed to it, we wouldn't still be married. Our love wouldn't have grown. Our commitment wouldn't have grown. See, love is a commitment. It's a decision that from which I will not be moved. So I'm going to love God. That means I'm going to obey God. Now it comes a little bit harder. But you know what? It becomes easier. Because as I love Donna, it's easier to do what she wants me to do. And as I love God, it becomes much easier to do what God wants me to do. I want to. It's not a compulsion of do it or else I'm going to hit you. It's, oh, I really want to. How does that happen? How does that work? I don't know. God made us up and wired us really weird and we do strange things because if we just follow His will and do it, it just all works out. I know if I tithe, I got money to pay my bills. If I don't tithe, I don't. Shouldn't work that way. Because I should have more money if I don't tithe, right? But it doesn't. I know that if I love Donna and give her freedom and that she's more committed to me and isn't going to leave me. I don't know how that works, but it does. The same with God in our relationship. The more I love God, the easier it is to obey Him. You know what? It's really, really, really hard to love God outside of love, or to obey God outside of love. But when I've made that commitment, this is who and what I am, and make that the priority, the thing that determines this is what I'm going to do. And not my appetites, not my thoughts, my dreams, whatever, but what God wants. This is what I'm going to do. God's directed that this is it. That's what I'm going to do. It becomes easier just to follow God. Because what He wants becomes my desire, my dream, my appetite. Instead of the things of the world. Because the more I abide with God, the more I take Him in, the more He becomes part of me. And the better I reflect Him, the more that He's in me and I am in Him. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. That's what the Word says. That's what Jesus said. So we have a command. Let's start there. Love one another. Let's make a commitment. We're going to be loving to each other. Because this is what God has commanded us to do. In order to show the world that we love Him, we need to first love each other. So people, God's plan for us, the church, is to love and obey Him. So let's commit to Him this day. By seeking to obey God, we seek to remain in His love. And the blessings and benefits of that love become ours to participate in and partake of. We model Christ. And we encourage each other and become a blessing to each other and to others. The lost. We give a better portrayal, a more accurate portrayal of the gospel. The good news. And people are more likely to receive it. And next week, but 2 weeks, we will be talking about that other part of the plan of God for God's church, that we are to seek and save the lost. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that, Lord, even though it's hard and complex, You lay it down and break it down so that it's easy and simple. Lord, we just need to love You. And out of that love will flow our obedience. We just need to be committed to doing and acting according to Your will instead of our own. So Lord, might we give You the primacy in all things in our lives, so that Your name might be lifted up and glorified, that Your people can be encouraged and blessed, and Lord, that those who don't know You might be drawn to You and know Your love too. In Jesus' name, amen.